This is writer Kyle Higgins, and you've jumped inside the Pull Bag, only on the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the Pull Bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the Pull Bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the Pull Bag.
Hello and welcome to the Pull Bag. This is episode 530. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me once again is Mr. Joe Reed. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Yes, we are back in black because it's time for Radiant Black, Volume 3, Rogues Gallery. Kyle Higgins, Marcelo Costa, Alex Siegel, Joe Clark, Lawrence Holmes, Eduardo Ferragato, Stefano Simone, and others are on the creative for this one. This collects chapters or issues 13 to 18. I will tell you folks right now, no matter how long it takes us to get through 13 to 17, you're probably going to hear an ad break between episodes or issues 17 and 18, because 18 is the Wendell issue, and that's a whole other discussion. So for now, we're going to talk about 13 through 17, and yeah, we start off with Nathan getting out of the hospital. Yay!
Yay!
And he just wants some sort of semblance of normal life. And he goes home, and his dad's like, should we go to the pizza? Yeah, I'm just going to go lay down and rest. Until the robot. Hello, Nathan.
Nope, sorry. Yeah. He tries to walk away.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, wrong number.
Yeah. So this is an indication that though he had died for moments, the Radiant didn't completely leave him. Yeah. But he obviously doesn't have the powers.
Well, he doesn't have the powers now. And that's kind of where this is kind of going, where this turns into, spoilers, folks, this turns into them actually sharing the power. But yeah, no, I enjoy this. I think this is great. I love him and his dad being able to kind of sort of talk, and his dad just saying, you know, one of the, you know, hey, it's okay. You were in a coma for 10 months. We're just doing the best we can. But one of these days, we should have a conversation about what you really thought things were going to cost out there on the left coast. Oh, boy. Which, you know, hey, that's what you're supposed to do when you're a parent and your kid's kind of drowning kind of thing. You have conversations about stuff.
Am I crazy or not crazy? But I think his dad was a little more short with him or not unkind before. Like, now that he's been in the hospital for, what, 6 months?
10 months, actually. But yeah.
Yeah, they're...
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, you're right. His dad was
seeming
very
more supportive.
Yeah, your kid gets, you know, trounced by some idiot in a red costume and a building dropped on him, and he's in a coma for 10 months. Of course, no matter how strict the parent is, your kid almost dies, and you're going to be a little bit less on the, you know, you're going to tighten your grip on the reins a little bit. And yeah, you're right. His dad was much more stern with him before, kind of thing. And I like this. I think this is good. This is a way to show that their relationship is changing. This is a way for them to show that Nathan can talk to his dad if he needs to, kind of thing. And then we get to Marshall, the Radiant Black Advertising Agency.
Yeah. I guess, you know, you think about all these superheroes that, like, do you have a day job? And do you have a day job that you wouldn't lose if you were doing the superhero thing? This seems like a perfectly viable way.
Well, yeah. And because he's working, I think aren't these the Circle News guys?
Oh, do they hook him up with these people to shoot ads?
Yeah, I think it's them. But anyway, it's these guys who are like, you know, you don't want people to know who you are, then you're going to do this stuff for us. It's not necessarily, it's not blackmail in the sense of like the criminals were trying to blackmail Radiant Red. It's, you know, you scratch our back and we won't tell your secret kind of thing. And yeah, I think that is super cool. I love that scene there. That's funny.
Yeah, it was Johnny Storm in one of the Fantastic Four movies took sponsorships and put the patches on his costume, didn't he? Is that what I'm...
Yep.
Did you ever notice how he looks a lot like Captain America?
Yeah, funny that, isn't it?
Just a little younger, but otherwise, spitting image. Yeah. So we find out that those ads from Radiant Black were filmed in front of a green screen.
Yep. What? When you're laughing
at? And then they comment, you know, I could just, I took the aerial shots for you with the camera. Why didn't you just want me in the shots with the?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And then we get to the villains. We get to Shift and whatever he and his cronies are doing. Which is a nice little two-page spread over, you know, seeing how... Oh, what's this? What is this guy's name? I forget what his name is. The guy that's overcharging or the guy that's... Whatever.
They're harassing Shift to give him more charge.
Right, battery. Yeah.
Who is this guy? You're right.
I forget what his name is off the top of my head.
And so it's like Shift is independently contracting these low-level villains and portioning out the charge that he has.
Yep.
To keep these, because the bad guy's suits are powered by being in proximity to a Radiant.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And I must have missed something issues ago. Like, where did all of those suits come from? Are people building them, or?
Yeah, it's Shift and the Pete. Like, he's, yes, they're building suits for these people and to do bad things. And that, it's basically a crime consortium kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And yeah. I think something that happened later is also kind of linked to what this happens. Like I'll mention it when we get to that later point.
Yeah. So we get back to Nathan and Marshall hanging out and Nathan's ex JJ shows up.
Have we seen her yet?
Yeah. Well, we have and we haven't. She was the one that basically cheated on him with Braden. Braden was the film guy that his best friend, screwed him over on the writing out in California and stuff, out in L.A.
Got it.
So she's kind of back in the mix, and I really, really want. So, yeah, I don't know. I really, really want this, and because Marshall's like, but I did pick something up when you were in a coma. I totally kept forgetting to give it to you. So perfect non-dick move timing. Allow me to present the Holy Grail remaster. I want this.
I love how this comic does do a lot of multimedia fourth wall breaking, but they come into your reality with some of the things. And it wouldn't surprise me, like we got the 5-minute film animated thing that they are making later in this book. I wonder if we're going to get some kind of Cowl comic or another animated
short. Oh, Cowl already happened. That's why Cowl is in this. It's already happened. It was a...
Oh!
Yeah, Kyle already did... Kyle and Alex Siegel and Rod Rice, they did 12 issues? 25? It's in two volumes. We've already covered it on the podcast in the past.
Oh, golly.
Yeah, that's why it's here. I think it's issue 3 writing day when they go out in the middle of the woods and they have all the Cowl action figures way back in issue 3 of Radiant Black when they start practicing with the powers.
That's right.
Yeah, those were Cowl action figures. So yeah.
So it was it a separate series in its own continuity, or was it within this continuity?
No, it's not necessarily within this continuity. It's just within, because Kyle created it. Kyle worked on, you know, Kyle was doing it. It's his thing. They're just referring to it. But yeah, no, it was superhero labor union comic book type, like 40s, 50s, 60s labor union type stuff. It was very good. Yeah, I'll have to set you up with that, because it was very good. Love Cowl. So they have a back and forth, and Nathan's going to go off with JJ, and Marsha's like, go. But yeah, let's definitely talk about the other stuff soon. Whatever you need, dude, happy to help. Thanks. And this is the first time I really see Marshall, like, not be the, like, this panel here where he says thanks to Nathan. He just looks just so defeated.
Yeah, now that Nathan's back, I mean, he spent 10 months as the first fiddle, as kind of the one, and it's been, like, this is their first getting back together, their first hanging out, and he's already been turned into the third wheel, you know, and Nathan's had this success of hooking back up with the girlfriend.
Yep.
I think that's where that he's like, oh, this is, he's already the sidekick, even though he's still the superhero.
Yeah. And then we get back to his house, and this just starts his whole problems. And then his mom shows up with his dog, and this goes back into him disappearing for however long he, and what does she say? She says, dog, I wasn't prepared for a dog. Dogs cost money, and he has the gift card, and she ends up with the gift card, he ends up with the dog. And, you know, when you disappear for 9 or 10 months and you got responsibilities, and, you know, of course, it wasn't his fault to get sucked into existence, but, you know, he didn't plan that, but that's just heart-wrenching.
Yeah, and where now, so Nathan gets re-accepted by his parents, and he's getting shunned by his.
Yep. And now the crime starts. And everywhere Radiant Black goes, the crime happens. Dude, he's calling for you. This is really serious. So Marshall turns on the TV, he sees one of the villains calling him out. And once again, this is another one of my favorite panels in the whole series to this point so far. It's him walking in the rain in the suit with the police cars behind him.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, I love it. It's so good. That used to be, that was my, when, what is this, issue 13? When issue 13 came out, that was my Facebook featured banner image for the longest time when that issue first came out. So we get Radiant Black meeting up with the, hey, you're already in here, just trying to be civil, you know, you might as well just sit down, because I charge off you anyway, and all that, and I still don't see, like, they still don't say what this dude's name is, do they?
Not yet. Okay. I mean, I haven't caught it, and I didn't catch it the first time through.
Yeah,
it's important to note that to get Radiant Black out there, he's attacking one of the places that he advertised for. He's attacking the pizza place.
Yep, he's attacking the pizza place.
And it's like, man, you kind of asked for that, and through that, the guys hooking him up with the ads kind of asked for that. You got this super-powered superhero with, you know, villains are after him, and you're showing him all the places to attack.
Yep. But Marshall just goes full, like, he gets in a couple of good shots at Marshall. He gets in one good uppercut. He tells him to stay radiant, and then Marshall just goes berserk. Like, cape mode, everything berserk, and he just beats the ever-living crap out of this guy. Which, not to say the guy didn't deserve it, but...
Which is interesting, because they wrestle with that in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Radiant Black dismantles the suit.
Yep.
And the guy makes a threat.
Yeah, that's a great shot.
Yeah.
Of him just dismantling the suit. That's awesome. And he says, I could kill you. And the guy says, might as well then, because this is the last time you'll see me like this. Next time, I come for everything that matters. And he just kind of says no and basically kind of like backhands the guy.
Which I think is a significantly more forceful strike than we were led to believe.
Yeah, no, I can tell between the no and the way his hand is, and plus the guy's bleeding mouth, like, he hit him pretty freaking hard.
Yep.
He really did.
And well, that's what I'm saying. Like, before I had turned the page and I'm looking at this, like, whoa, dude, did he just kill him? Because, I mean, he kind of has to. This dude just made that horrible threat, and he knows, you know, people make threats all the time, but this guy has the hookups to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, did Radiant do it? Did Marshall?
I don't think he killed him. No.
No, because he's alive in the next issue. Or they have, I'm skipping ahead, just there's a news shot where they caught it on camera, so there's controversy. But no, he's alive and in the hospital.
Yeah, he's in the hospital. But what is so interesting to me about this, like, the way the suit is interacting with Marshall's anger and everything, is, like, the suit itself is all black, the cape is white, like, there is no multicolor. It's not like the one where you saw in my favorite shot with him walking in front of the police cars. This thing is all black, and that final shot of issue 13... where in the first panel he says, no, you won't. It's literally like, wow.
Sinewy muscle, skin tight, black.
Absolutely. So that's how 13 ends. We begin 14 with Nathan and JJ. And I'm happy for Nathan, but she is so not right for me. She is just... as Mama always used to say, that girl is the devil. Chickens is coming home to roost, Bobby Boucher. Let me tell you what. So Nathan gets distracted by Marshall, and this is on his phone. This is where we see that the other guy is on the stretcher.
Yep.
And we go to, what do we go to here? What the heck? Oh, this is another... Okay, this is another one of the villain things. Okay. Because I'm like, interesting. Yeah. So we get another villain in this. And I like how each chapter is... or each issue is getting... like, it's not necessarily villain of the week or villain of the month, considering comic books come out monthly, but it's like, oh, this is another part of whatever shift is building. And I kind of like that. And this is the YouTuber guy or something, I think.
Crypto Boy.
Crypto Boy or whatever his name is.
Crypto Bro, is that what they call him later?
I think so. And Nathan ends up banging down Marshall's door. What did you do? Dude, you almost killed that guy. You put him in the hospital. I know, I was there. He's lucky. And you can clearly tell Marshall is, he's pissed.
Yeah. Upset at being, Nathan hasn't come by to talk to him to have the conversation that they need to have about the Radiant. But it took him this far to actually then have the conversation.
Yeah. And basically what it boils down to is that Marshall saved his life. Why does he keep blowing him off? And so they, you know, have a whole thing, and Nathan tells him that the robot keeps trying to connect with him, and Marshall's phone goes off. And he says, is he dead? No, worse.
So this guy's name is Shear, I think.
Shear, that's what name. It is. That's, you're right, yes.
Shift. This is the second guy, and he's selling the NFT for killing Radiant Black. So, yeah, this guy's... Remember NFTs, folks?
Sadly, they're still a thing, unfortunately.
Kind of, really? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't hear them.
They're like still a thing. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like the... whatever. That's a whole other discussion for another day. So we get to Shear, and he's practicing, or he's doing whatever he's doing here. And we get
Marshall doesn't even wait. He just comes and gets him.
Yep, just comes and gets him. Absolutely. And yeah, he comes and gets Shear, and then he goes after Shift. Because we have this amazing explosion into Shift's place here, where Radiant Black is like, so who's next? Don't make me stab you. I don't know where that black hole goes. I can show you what it does. Oh, man. This is cool.
One of the criticisms I have about this book is when some of the action scenes go on, I lose the ability to tell who's doing what to whom, or like with this shot here, the crash, oh, come on, and I can't tell how big any of that stuff is or where it's occurring.
Yeah, that's...
And I don't know who he crushed. There were like two people in the room.
Yeah, well, I think it's... Well, from what I can tell, it's Marshall as Radiant Black saying, here, I can show you what it does. He puts his hand out, and that's when Shift says, oh, come on, and then the next thing you know, he's...
dropped something on Shift.
And then there was you, Mr. On Camera. So Radiant, so in the bottom panel of that, where you see the drop and you see the fist to the left, that's Radiant Black. And then there's the other guy, the third guy. Hey, keep back. I don't want to fight you. That's the third guy in the room.
Yeah, him and Shift were emptying the safe house because they knew Radiant Black was coming. And he just came way too soon.
Yep.
And caught him because he just dealt with the YouTuber.
Yep. And he breaks the guy's arms, which, I can hear I can hear the sound of those snaps. The sound of breaking bones is not a good sound, folks. It really, really isn't.
Going hardcore.
Yeah, very hardcore. And again, I love this like after where he says that and you just see the fire and man, is that so cool.
Cool people never look at the explosion.
Well, I'm a lame-o, so I'll look at the explosion if I want to. Damn it. Yeah, so crypto terrorist Shear, so we see the news reports about that. And Marshall says to Nathan, everybody's alive, that's good, so how else can I disappoint you? And Nathan says, look, I'm sorry, man, I shouldn't have said, it came out wrong, I'm just worried about you and all of this, and I never have even been on this side of things with us before, where you're out in front doing the big stuff, it's different. And I gotta figure out how to be cool with that. Yeah, you do, but I get it, you're wrong to be worried, though, but it's fine. That's what I don't understand, like, Nathan is being worried for his best friend, and his friend tells him that he's wrong to be worried. Okay, wait. I gotta... All right, so he says, you're wrong to be worried, but it's fine, because I know when it really matters, you'll be there. That's how this is supposed to work. Of course I will, man, always. But it just... That reads wrong to me. He's telling Nathan that he's wrong to be worried.
Is he saying, like, you don't have to be worried? Or
the
things you're worried about aren't actually happening?
I think because Nathan is worried that because of what Marshall did earlier with the other, with Shear, the whole fully black, radiant black suit and all. Like, he basically went black suit Spidey without going black suit Spidey. Kind of. I think that's what Nathan's worried about, but Marshall is telling him, no, it's okay, it's fine. you know.
And I think there's got to be the tension of Nathan maybe wanting the Marshall thinks Nathan might want the Radiant back.
Back, yeah.
Or Nathan thinks Marshall thinks Nathan might want it back.
Yeah. And they kind of go their separate ways from opposite ends of each other. And we get another, you know, robot trying to connect with Nathan. Hello, Nathan. Yes, hello. And then we see a firefighter finding a piece of tech. Huh. Because that's what the firefighter says. And then this one, that's where this one ends for chapter 14. What I'm liking about this series is that I don't want to say it's not a good mix. It's not a bad mix either. But it's a mix of the superhero stuff and the real life stuff, like dealing with all of the emotions between Nathan and Marshall, dealing with Nathan and that JJ. Dealing with
being a superhero and the real life stuff that actually happens. It's a very grounded book.
Yeah, it is very grounded. And it's one of those things that just feels like it's paced well. There's nothing super rushed. It's got amazing, amazing art. Marcello and all of the people that work on the art are just killing it. I mean, so far in two issues out of this trade, it's like, that's a screenshot, that's a screenshot. That, like, literally, like, I could screenshot the whole damn thing. It's so cool most of the time. It's just fun to the point of you sometimes forget it's a superhero book kind of thing.
I get... Yeah. I'm so glad that you made me pick this up. Like, do not regret... I looked at that logo and I said, "Ooh, that's something I got to read." And then I forgot about it until I'd see the logo again, and then I'd forget about it again. But no, it's totally enjoyable. And I flipped to the next page and I'm looking at the colors of the inside the Radiant universe, yep, inside the brain, and I love those colors. And I do love that it's grounded. And you know, I always keep bringing it up, but like, this is what I would have wanted the comic book that I made about that character that I have floating around in my head. This is what I would have wanted it to be. So now I don't have to make it. Now I just have to read Radiant Black.
Yeah, that's right. They did it for you.
Yeah.
It's like reach right into your head. And,
And they probably did it better than I would have done it. It's a very, very good chance.
So Nathan, as we start chapter 15, is sucked into existence again, and he's basically just asking the robot, also, where did I go? What is all of this connected to? What is going on here? The Radiant just looks at him. Do you want it back? What about Marshall? His connection is final, permanent, and for the duration of his life, and the same thing the Radiant says all the time.
Yep.
I'm fine. You don't understand this, do you? How we're doing this? No. Correct. There are things about these Radiants you don't know. That weirdly makes me feel better. Also 100% more terrified.
That's so neat. Like, the mm-hmm. the thing that we thought had all the answers
doesn't have all the answers. Yeah. That is so, so good. So we get to Marshall, and this is the lock a few days later. It's just a cash grab. Nothing is sacred anymore. I don't know, man. They got Reginald James back. So actors take shitty jobs all the time. Oh, Marshall.
Oh, man.
Plus, it's going to be amazing seeing Blaze wipe the floor with the circle guy. I hope it's right in front of the store. Epic PR. PR right. So yeah, apparently this is some other thing going on. And then Walking Trash Heap walks in. Nathan, can we have a moment?
Oh, the girlfriend. Yeah.
So she's going back to L.A. Thank God. She was there way too long. That's out of nowhere. Yeah. Sucks, I know. Or, you know, you could come back to L.A. I'm still in PT and dealing with... I can't blow up my life again, JJ. And, yeah, she's out of here. See you later. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord should have split you. God. I don't know what it is about her. I never liked her.
You don't want to... Yeah, I don't want to make a moral judgment here, but, you know, if you're going to go back with the person who cheat on you, not a good idea.
No, not a good idea. And, you know, he's right. At least he makes that good choice of not doing that, but... Because she's just going to go back to the idiot former friend that he used to have out there in L.A., Braden. Oh, God, uh-huh. We're going to see him later in later issues. Oh, God. L.A. trash. Yes, folks, it's okay. It's my podcast. I can judge if I want to.
You don't have to answer to anybody.
Well, I don't know. It's just a character thing. Some characters are assholes. And
some are supposed to be.
Yeah. And that's very much the point. So we get Marshall and Nathan, I think. I'm having hair problems again. Last episode, we had hair problems with Owen. Nathan doesn't look right in these.
Oh,
next.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's him and Marshall. She's got to go back to L.A. What? And they go through all this, and, like, it's Marshall looks like he's supposed to look. Nathan, I don't know. Like, the panel, the very bottom panel of that page where... Nathan says, so now that means camping out to watch them film and geek out when Reginald holds up the gauntlet. So they're talking about the film location stuff.
Yeah, they're on the film location where this whole thing's going to be taking place. And yeah,
but look at Nathan's design. Look at his face. Look at his, like, he doesn't look like the same Nathan we've seen in the last 14 issues of this comic book.
If it weren't for the orange hair, I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem, is the hair is the wrong color. I don't know. Kind of reminds me of Archie. Oh, God. If Nathan is Archie, then that makes Marshall Jughead, and Marshall isn't that dumb. So we get to Doppler. This is interesting. We get a little mini scene with her where she says, he'll be here, you've got this.
Yeah, she's got the Doppler suit in her backpack, low charge on the little battery readout.
Yep. And there she is, in the place with Marshall.
Oh, yep.
And just being near them, she's going to get charged.
And so they're just like being geeks. They're arguing about powers and who win.
And the
guys playing Radiant are the guys who are Radiant are arguing in the third person about how much cooler he is than Blaze.
Yep. And then she goes out into the crowd. Somebody grabs her stuff, and she says, "Hey, the Doppler suit falls out." And we cut back to them. They're still arguing. They're from outer space. Go. What is it? What's going on? Something on set? Whoa, wait. That's Doppler.
I want to know how they knew, because I don't have a visual indication of that they... Oh, nope. That's not them saying it's Doppler. It's somebody else.
It's not Nathan and Marshall saying it.
Yep.
It's somebody from the crowd saying, and they just look at each other like, oh, shit. Here we go. And we get a nice little fight with them, and she's just like, shit. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Are you kidding me? I love the Radiant. I just love that. It's so cool. So she and Radiant Black have a little bit of a fight. She lands on her feet and she says what she says. She says, trust me, I don't want to be here either. And then leave. She just hits him with a rock noise and all that.
It's interesting. What I like about how Radiant has been handling these situations with the villains coming back is just done messing with them. Like, to get her out of the crowd, he just telekinesis Green Lantern ring takes her, picks her up, and leaves the scene to have the conversation with her.
Yeah. So, and the funny thing to me is with her character, like, I don't necessarily like dislike her character, but she says to him, "Do you even want to help people?" What kind of question is that? I'm still trying to figure out if you give a damn, if you actually stand for anything. So her character is more not straight up villainy. It's more of an ambiguity of, should I do this? It's kind of like with Satomi, where it's like, oh my God, I'm at my wit's end. Oh my God, I have to make a choice, or oh this, or oh that. And he says, even though I shouldn't be required to say it, of course I want to help. Bullshit. Hey, you don't know me. Why? Why do you want to help? Because no one helped me. So this, to me, is Marshall coming through and kind of like getting all that. And she says, well, then you better take your own advice and do better. And thanks for the boost.
And yeah, I think
walks away.
What we missed there, she brought the suit to the thing hoping to get a boost, but she she got nailed at a bank robbery or something before.
Yeah.
And Nathan or Marshall, I don't remember who was who at that point, but they talked her down from a life of crime. And we discover, I think, here that she has a condition. She shakes involuntarily.
Yeah,
so and the suit helps her.
Help her. Yeah.
Yep. And so that's why she needed the charge.
That's why. Yeah. That's why.
Not she... shake to continue helping the criminals at the prison. She's a kind of a mentor, psychologist sort of person, and you know, she says, "Look, I'm the reformed person helping. How are you helping? And why are you helping?" Marshall kind of. We get that moment because no one helped me. Like, all right, there's his motivation.
Yep, there's the motivation right there. And then we continue on to the set and we have all this stuff and the best panel out of this entire issue. And you have to really kind of zoom in on it. But hold up, did you get Batman Beyond to play me? We did. Full on Will Friedle in the suit. It's his face. As the drawing. And he says, okay, that actually is pretty dope. I think Eric Matthews with superpowers. That's totally what we were thinking. I love that. That is so freaking cool. And we have more of Nathan and Marshall in their discussion. And that is really interesting to the point of, you know, Marshall saying he appreciates Nathan coming around on all of this, but he needs it to be his thing. And, you know, Nathan's like, yeah, of course, I'm just trying to help. And they kind of walk off and we kind of get the conclusion to this where it's her watching what he's saying on the TV and all that. And then Shift just kind of materializes into her room here, like, holy crap. And 15 ends on him asking her, What do you think you want to be? Someone who actually makes it? What do you think? You want to actually be someone who makes a difference? Yeah, okay. We'll end on that. And again, what I like about it is we have, it's not just Nathan and Marshall's story. It's all these other characters mm-hmm. that have all these other motivations for doing what they're doing. Yeah, we still don't really know what Shift's motivations are, even though we kind of know he acts like an asshole kind of thing. But it's very fun. Very, very fun. So we get to 16, and 16 is Cook County, Illinois. More explosions, more crime. Shift is here. We are so close. So it's Shift and Shear. So your plan is blackmail? And I love how he says, after your pizza tantrum. That's hilarious. And one thing I don't get with this issue is, why are Nathan and Marshall at a basketball game?
Oh, he explains it. They're at a high school basketball game because Marshall wants to see how many minutes one of those kids who walked by him insulting him actually played in the game, so he could say, yeah, I only were out of 3 minutes out of the whole game. Yeah. He's waiting for the insult.
He's waiting for the insult. I get it. That's hilarious.
So pathetic.
So pathetic, but hilarious. Oh, he's also there because he's in the halftime show. Radiant Black is in the that's the other reason he's there. Okay. That's just hilarious. Radiant Black. You know, it's not hard to do good, but it can't be easy to lose focus, and they're all just, like, mesmerized. He drops the ball. That's hilarious. Well, stay in school, don't do drugs. Where did that ball go? And we have Shift, and they're asking about clans and things, and
this was neat how they're gonna intercut this for the next couple of pages, the whole attack on Marshall to get the Radiant Black out of him, and it's kind of like a heist. See the thing they cut to show how they did it. We see the thing.
Oh, that okay. So when the clock starts running, so do we. That's. Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah. And it's going to be a pain in the neck to, like, talk through these scenes because they attack during the beginning of that third quarter.
Yep.
They evacuate everybody out of the gymnasium. And, it is that they're teleporting to the roof of the school as people are running out.
Yep.
And Marshall sees them out there and engages.
And then Doppler uses a triangle on Radiant Black. I'm just like, who the hell uses a triangle as a weapon? Musical triangles, man. Oh boy.
Yeah, sound is kind of a weakness for him, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. Some sounds it is, yeah. And we get the giant fifth kind of robot-looking guy here. Something immune to the radiance effects. Huh. Interesting. And we call it Mecha. And, this is really cool. This is fun watching them kind of almost dismantle Radiant Black.
Yep.
Until the robot steps in.
And this is the robot that's beating up Radiant Black. They're making a big deal about it being invulnerable. You can't destroy it. It's going to take the power of a quasar. And I'm going like, okay, how did they build this thing, or where did it come from?
Yeah.
Which is going to lead into my theory that's going to come up here in a few minutes. But the robot this giant robot suit guy. I forget who's piloting it.
I forget who's pilot, but it's the mecha essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I love about this, and I'm just now, I'm glad I'm noticing it now that it's a separate part, but so they were in the gym and then they were in other places. At first I thought somebody like hit a switch and the basketball court disappeared and the pool showed up, but that's no, the pool's in a completely different area.
Yeah. It's below the gymnasium and they knock some through the floor.
Yep. And Marshall is back in existence. Do not despair. You are dying.
Not gonna lie, I'm despairing.
Yeah. Tough kid, he's still breathing. I'm afraid. Understandable, but illogical. You are part of existence. And commencing extraction, and then whoosh. Radiant Black is back. What's he saying that last page here? He says, there's been a slight change of plans.
And Marshall's on the floor.
Yep.
After being pulled out of the pool, no suit. Oh, man.
Yep.
Nathan's back with it.
That's right.
And we're going to find out how chapter 17.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, I mean, so this is where they start sharing it. And that is super cool. So we start off in 17 a couple of minutes ago in Lockport, Illinois. We see Nathan. And Nathan meets up with Wendell. This is the beginning of the Wendell thing here in... Because we've seen Wendell in Radiant Black before.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up with Pink, I think, back in issue 4 or 5, I think. Or it might have been... I forget when it was. But the two of them showed up together. And this is where... He was just, I mean, oh, I see. I must be early. So Wendell's always early. Wendell's either always early or always too late. Hello, Nathan Burnett. Stand by, please. How do you? We only have 13 minutes and you thank me at the end. So let's cut to the chase, is what Wendell says. You're going to want to get in the car. I just love how, like we were talking about earlier with the team, it's not even really team building. Each of these members, right, between Radiant Black, whether it's Marshall and Nathan, both of them, Radiant Red, Radiant Yellow, and Radiant Pink, all of them have such a unique approach to eventually becoming the team of Radiance that they most likely will become.
Uh-huh.
That it's such a story that it's... It's cosmic and it's cool and it's just, yeah, because I had read these in single issues and then I'd gone back and I always end up double dipping just because I wish I could just wait for the trade and not read it, but I'm just like, my brain's like, I need to know what's going on.
Yeah, I just got to come along with the ride on, especially on this issue and the one before it where everything is tangled.
Yeah, very much so.
But I'm excited for that whole team to come together because, like, this, it's music when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, it's like that end moment in the superhero movies where the superhero team, they each have a role, and oh, it's cute, it all comes together at the end and it's very satisfying. And this is especially with Wendell here doing whatever he does with time and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed something on a second read through here. So Nathan's talking to the robot. Your friend is deceased soon.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is a part of existence. Your assistance is required. And then they flash back to the car. And right. Wendell's got sugar. He went and bought a bag of sugar, which comes into play in a few pages.
Yep. And I love how we have very similar to how the original superhero power-up happened with Nathan way back in issue one. We have, a future. This is your stuff. Go save the day, Radiant Black. And we see the Radiant. He grabs it. And he powers up again. He goes and flies off, and Wendell gets this weird, like, multi-twinging...
He's doing what Doctor Strange did when he looked at all the different chances that the Avengers had to actually win against Thanos. He's looking through time.
Yep.
And I get what's going on here in these three panels because of a second read-through. He's pulling it forward just a few feet and then parking it. He had parked it.
Yep.
Moved it and then parked it again just a few feet forward.
Yep. Just so it doesn't get destroyed. So we get Nathan
back to where we began ended last issue.
There's been a pretty slight change
of plans.
Yeah, slight change of plans, yep. And we get Nathan versus the Mecha. It's Mecha. And yeah, Marshall doesn't look so good. Oh no, the car does explode.
Yes, but on purpose. He needed to cushion the impact.
Yep, got it. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Okay, I see. You're okay. Buckle up. He threw the car at him. Oh, man. It's about the Radiant with you people. Can't do anything for yourselves, huh? Okay, I'll give you a boost.
Lifts the robot up, flips him back.
Mm-hmm. And Marshall looks like he's dying, like he's got blood all over his face and everything else. He sits up, still got blood drooling out of his mouth. Where's Nathan? Last I saw him getting punched through the ceiling?
Yeah, a Doppler came to get him out of there.
Yep, she's here. She's trying to help. Wait, you're the YouTube guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Digital influencer. So it's Sheer in the Mecha. Yep. Okay. Digital influencers. Good Lord. You know, we used to call people like that role models. Apparently that doesn't work anymore.
I think a lot of those digital influencers are not very good role models.
Well, obviously not. But, I mean, I'm saying that normally that kind of person.
Yeah.
Hopefully they would be good, but, you know, kind of thing. So we get more sound with Doppler and the hammer. She basically rings the bell. And Nathan gets flung out of the suit. And Marshall's back in the suit. And this is where they literally start tag teaming everybody.
Yep.
They just start flipping back and forth. Here, you take it. No, you take it. They're basically playing keep away with the Radiant. They even have a because Nathan does the dude high five thing, and Marshall's like, so cheesy. First thing I thought of is, oh my God, they did a Wonder Twins reference.
Well, they did that, the split.
Mm-hmm.
Each of them wearing half of the costume to punch shift back, which is, I think that's what he's saying is so cheesy. Is like, yeah, it's like they know that was the spread in the comic book.
Yep. And then we get to, so let's see here. So we got. So, see, my friend Jace and I, we worked at Marl for 13 years, best team of engineers on staff, until I screwed up and they fired me. But Jace, he knew we worked better as a team. We could do anything. He hits a button. What just happened? Nothing. So he quit Marl, and we get this more of the story, and apparently Jace is this tiny robot that's, you know, turned on by that switch. And we get the release of the 001 papers, alien technology documents.
So do we know what that's in reference to?
The 001 papers?
Yeah.
I guess it's the alien stuff? I don't know.
This is where I think I figured out where some of this technology was coming from. The alien stuff, the radiance and the suits have been on Earth for a while. Maybe the government discovered them and they scienced them out somewhere in some black site. And then they got it, the Morrow group, and hacked it and got the information. And now what he did is he put all that information on the internet because everybody's cell phone's beeping. So now potentially there's going to be a lot more people making suits that power off of radiance.
Yep. That's the gist of the point. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So I'm not crazy.
Right. No, you're not crazy. You're right. I'm glad somebody figured it out, but I don't know. Some of these villain things, I don't know. But so we get all of that, and Marshall says, that file he sent out, I can't even open it on my phone. Something tells me Radiant Black is about to need all the help he can get. Besides, races are better as relays. And Nathan says, then so maybe this is the way it was always meant to be. Huh. Maybe that's what Wendell meant by, hey, where'd he go? He goes over, finds Wendell. Sorry about your car. If it wasn't there, you wouldn't have gotten up in time. And, well, I'm just sorry I couldn't have saved Marshall. So Wendell thinks Marshall died alive, but that's not how. And Wendell's like, oh, God, this is wrong. He's going to kill us all. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, man. So that's 13 to 17. And holy crap, I do love it. I think it's great. I think it's one of those things where after 17 issues of this book, I still don't know what this book wants to be or what it's supposed to be. And I guess that's partially the point.
Along for the ride.
Yep. I'm along for the ride, too. I love being surprised by it. I love learning and also not knowing certain things. Like, we don't need to know everything all at once kind of thing. So, yeah. So I think we are going to take a quick ad break, and we're going to come back and finish off the episode with issue 18, chapter 18, which is the Wendell issue. We'll be back right after this.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello. Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast, here every week to talk everything DC, movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it. Here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast.
It's audio justice.
No. It's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts,
Google Play,
Spotify,
Stitcher,
and everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
All right, we are back, and the whole point of doing a whole hour on four out of these five issues, folks, was because Chapter 18, Yellow. It's a lot.
This was a very interesting one to read.
It was fun. All of these have been fun, but ever since Wendell first showed up, I'm like, we need to know more about him. And I know eventually Kyle and them, we're going to get there. But wow, this was so cool.
Yeah, I think what I see a lot or happening quite frequently with Radiant Black is that they do pull in different media. They want you to scan the QR code. They want you to interact with the code. They want to break the fourth wall in a way. And this book the chapter five starts with Wendell waking up in bed in 1984. And the next panel is Wendell waking up out of bed in 2002.
Yep.
Then waking up out of bed in 2020, then waking up from bed. Only it's not a bed. It's under an overpass, under a blanket and a tent at 2038. And the way that this goes is as you turn the page, the top strip, the top row of four is what's happening in 84. The second one's what's happening in 2002. And so like I as I was about halfway through it, I thought, should I be reading this one whole page at a time, or should I read the top all the way across and then the middle all the way across?
Yeah.
And it's fun, and I wish I'd have had a chance to do it across instead of just top down on each page, because I'm thoroughly not confused, but it's a lot to hold in your head and at one time.
Yeah,
in a fun way.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it is. Well, I mean, you know, 1984 to 2038, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm. That's,
you know, we're not quite there. We're a few years away from 2028, but yeah, no, this is awesome. And I think I mentioned this already in this episode, but if I did, I'll probably edit this out. Maybe not. Most likely not, because I'm lazy. But they did a super, like, extremely limited version of issue 18 as a single issue, where if you got it, it was like 1 out of 250 or 1 out of 100, or I forget what the whole ratio was, but it was an accordion issue where the whole thing unfolds. And I found Kyle's tweet on X, or post on X, or whatever we're calling the thing nowadays.
We should still call it Twitter.
Yeah, I know we should, but sadly, he just keeps giving it to us. But I found his post, and I rewatched it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that would have been really cool to have, because that would have been nice, like you're saying, in order to read it, accordion style unfold and all that. And yeah, I just, the way I read it was the way that the Comixology guided view told me to go. Like, I didn't like, and the way that, and it's cool because the way the Comixology guided view goes is it goes by what you're saying all in one. It goes from the 84 panel to the next,
to the 02.
To 02 to 20, yeah. So that big giant page after we see him lying, you know, that bottom page in the previous page with 2038, that next page with the four columns, if you use the guided view, it does take you that way. It takes you through the whole year. And it does that with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the book, because the rest of the book up until, I want to say up until almost page, well, it's 136 of 149, but if you're reading the singlish, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, my trade's not page numbered, which is just obnoxious when you're trying to tell me what page it is.
Yeah, well, yeah. But pretty much, I mean, we get exactly what you're saying.
Yep.
Pretty much up until the very end, almost up until, yeah, pretty much the last, yeah. This accordion style of reading, and I like this. I think this is cool. This is a way. So one of my biggest pet peeves in comics is if you're going to have something like this. So like you're saying, 8402, what's the middle one there? God.
02.
84, 2002, 2020, and then 2038. One of my biggest pet peeves in comics is when they do the jump back and forth. Like, here's a scene from 1942. Here's a scene from 2740. Like, it jump cuts it.
Uh-huh.
This is a much better way to do time storytelling, as far as, like, this all happened this year, and then this happened, and then this happened. And who knows in the future if it's going to ever, like, have Wendell going back in time. But I'm sure, like, if you take this top page where it's the 1984 stuff, you get to the very end of that where it's the panel where Boss said you're coming out of Purdue. You ever been, you know, it's Wendell and this other guy talking about where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
And the next panel is the next year, which was 2002. Imagine if that top panel was 2002 and the second panel was 1984. All you'd have to do, like, in the little bar of the panel, and, you know, have something like Wendell do an inner monologue saying something like, but back when I was younger, kind of, like, just something like that would be a cool way to do that kind of, like, that storytelling, instead of just doing constant jump cuts between timelines. I always hate that in comics.
Mm-hmm. And especially when it happens from page to page, and you're not sure if you skipped a page because they were sticking together or something.
Yep.
I there's a lot of potential in a layout like this. Like, I see, yes, we need to know what's happening in 84, but then the 84 panels stop, and it's just empty in white space as the tie-in event from 2002 picks up, and
yep.
The events are playing out in the same space on the page, but then the 2002 panel takes over, and
yep.
only when it matters that it goes back and forth. I mean, I could see that with like a time-traveling character, how that might be an interesting way to look at linear time, but also yep. jumping in between.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way the artists do, the way the art is done on this, it's so, not only is it so good, but this issue specifically, keeping track of four different times, four different timelines, and keeping sort of the same, but yet very different. It's not a different art style, but it's a, like, the 1984 panels look nothing like the 84 Wendell looks nothing like the, I mean, he does. He's the same character. But my point is, because he's aged, because he's changed, I love how all of that is put together. I think that is so cool.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
So, yeah, the art was very, very... Not only is this story interesting, the way that it's told visually is very interesting.
Well, so, I'm a fan of the color. You know, we have our favorite colorist, but the 84 timeline is in those warm tones, and then it's yep. in yellow tones, and then 2020s and green tones, that's a neat effect. That then yeah. it also helps with any like kind of sensation of jump cutting.
It does, yes, because it's not a jump cut. It's pretty much yep. fade in and out. It's not it's very much fade in and out from each timeline. Oh boy.
I was hoping to see that there were going to be moments where the two panels or the they would relate to each other vertically, but I couldn't catch it, and I don't know if that's my own reading or misreading it or reading it out of order or something to that effect, but either way, it's still I'm nitpicking now. It's a wonderful way to tell the story. So I guess probably summarize what's going on in those a bit. 84, we're seeing Wendell in his early life, newly married, trying to get the really good job, the engineer job, having yep. a daughter, juggling the real world and babies.
Yeah. And then when we get to the 2002 timeline, oh boy.
Having a hard time with the work-life balance, disappointing everybody around him.
Yep.
And maybe you can help me with this, but in 2020, when he wakes up and the bed is empty, is he divorced or did his wife die?
No, I think they divorced because yeah. the daughter's, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the daughter's with Granny, but that's
Ziza.
That was,
yeah. Or Ziza. Z-I-Z-A. I assume it's Ziza. I could be wrong, Kyle. I'm sorry if I'm wrong. But there is a point here in this story where the daughter actually says, oh, great. What are you going to do? Get a divorce? There's a line here in here somewhere that is being said.
Yeah.
I forget where, like more, I'm going forward here. More layoffs. Congrats on the promotion. Thanks. Blah, blah, blah. I don't mean to say blah, 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 but blah, blah, blah. So there's an argument where, I think it's after he lays off the dude, or maybe it isn't. I don't know. I remember seeing a panel where they were arguing over whether the daughter could go to the thing or something. She wanted to do something, and then he and his wife Zandra started arguing, and the daughter said, "Oh, great! What are you gonna do? Get a divorce?" Like, I swear I saw that in.
Yeah.
I forget yeah, where exactly.
I don't have a page number to give you.
No, I know. I'm looking.
I think.
It's over the damn birth. That's what it is. It's the daughter's birthday.
The birthday cake.
It was over the birthday cake. What are you gonna do? Get a divorce over the birthday cake? Like, really, seriously?
Well, yeah, but no, not because of the cake.
Not because of the cake. So, again, jumping ahead here. Sure, Wendell, it's about you. It's always about you. Just stop it, Jesus. You're both the worst. You know, so that's where that kind of happens.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite timeline of his life?
Well, it's showing a little bit of the misery that he's had to deal with. In 84, when he's a new dad working at the engineering place, he's trying to save the company in Gary, Indiana, steel. He's engineering a way to make them more productive, but they're like, then who are we going to sell this production to? And so they're not jiving with him and his plans, and he's sacrificed being there with his wife when she's giving birth. So that's miserable, the 84 timeline. The second timeline, you see where that has wound up. He and his wife aren't getting along. His daughter is alienated because they just don't get to hang out at all. And then in the final one, you say it's divorced. He's lonely and alone and working a crap job at Best Buy.
Yeah. The reason why, again, outside the fact that I remember the daughter saying something about, well, why don't you just get a divorce in that middle timeline, in that second timeline, is because in the later timeline, he calls her. He says, hey, baby girl, happy birthday. And he starts talking to her daughter, his granddaughter. And he says, oh, did grandma get you that or did whatever? So his former wife, she's there with the daughter and the granddaughter. So that, I'm 99.795% sure.
Yeah.
It's divorce, not death.
You're right.
Isn't time traveling fun, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, and I guess here where her birthday is tying in from when she's a teenager to older, that is happening at the same time. And I guess, you know what? It's actually – it does.
She's born
in the top pan. Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Yep.
And we haven't at all talked about that bottom panel yet, timeline.
No, we haven't. That bottom timeline is weird.
Totally critical to the story.
Very critical to the story, obviously, but weird. So that bottom timeline, the 2038 timeline, that is...
post-apocalyptic Mad Max Road Warrior.
Pretty much.
Wendell.
Yeah. Pretty much. And... you can tell he is very, very old, except who is that with him?
I don't think we know who she is yet.
Okay, because I didn't remember seeing her name or anything like that.
We're going to meet her later, I bet.
Completely wrong, but yeah, this is a very, 2038, looks like a really rough year. But that's the one thing I wish, like you're saying, about how to read this. That's one thing I wish I could do, because I have a digital copy. I don't have a physical copy. I wish I could just scan that bottom timeline fast to get it. What I do understand about that bottom timeline is how he ends up getting the Radiant.
Well, I read this as that they are on a journey. They're heading somewhere. They get ambushed to have a little fight. And then eventually Wendell comes to the yellow robot.
Yep.
Collapsed and torn apart.
Yep.
The
yellow robot is collapsed and torn apart. And the yellow robot says, hello, Wendell. Welcome.
He wakes him up.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Wendell being there wakes up the yellow robot kind of thing. Analyzing connection offline, activation online, how? And he says, I've brought you back. I've done the impossible. How? So will you. Now so will you. Not how. Wow, I can't read. I want to fix this. It's all wrong. And the yellow robot says, the great conflict has ended. Failure. what is final cannot be undone. And they're arguing back and forth about all of this. And I think my favorite panel is the panel where the robot says, "Our connection is final, permanent for the duration, the whole radiant duration of your life." That panel where it looks like he's holding the yellow radiant, mm-hmm. and all of his timeline, like, it's to me, this is basically a Brady Bunch image. You got the 3 to 4 panels on the left side, you got the 3 to 4 panels on the right side, and you got him in the middle holding the yellow. That is amazing. I love that panel.
And I'm trying to extrapolate what happens, and it looks like all of his timelines are coming together, and then in the next panel, the verticality or the horizontal layout is interrupted. He's going from timeline to timeline.
Yeah, he's basically doing a Doctor Strange. He's going through every single timeline to figure out what of course we are. We have to be intention. So this is what I like. I like this a lot. We are not. So the robot says we are not more than our choices, Wendell. And then he's yelling at it. What? Of course we are. We have to be. Intentions matter.
And Wendell has always had good intentions with every single one of those decisions that he was making.
Right.
He wanted to fix the company. He wanted to be there for his wife. He wanted to be there for his daughter's birthday.
Yep.
He wanted to fix the thing at the Best Buy. He always wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And he's never a fixer. Worked out for him.
Yeah, it never worked. He's a fixer, like me.
Yep.
We are products of our decisions, one leading to the next. And it's a thing of everything is connected. There is conflict in your future. There is change in your past. And you see him crying. You must be the spark. You know what you have to do.
And in that last panel,
mm-hmm.
it looks like he's dead on the ground.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I turn the page. Bright flash of yellow.
Yep.
And he's burst out of this door. The helmet's fading off, and he says, "I have to fix this."
Yep.
I am interpreting that not necessarily that he came back from the future, but that the consciousness in that moment, his consciousness in that moment, is aware of all of the timelines at the same time.
Right.
And so he immediately knows what his decisions are, how they're going to result, so he can change that. He can have an effect on them.
Wasn't there a panel with him? So I know the end of issue 17 is him saying to Radiant Black. Oh, crap. Him saying to Radiant Black, what does he say? He says, "Oh, God, this is wrong. He's going to kill us all." Like, I swear I saw a different panel with Wendell, though, where he was doing it was actually his head, but the Doctor Strange multiverse, looking into the multiverse thing. I don't see that here in issue 18, which is fine. It is what it is. But, yeah, I think that's what this is him coming back saying, "Oh, crap, we have to fix this."
Mm-hmm.
Volume 3, Rogue's Gallery. Man. It was... not that I didn't think it was not going to be good, but it was better than I thought it was going to... I don't know. It's getting me deeper into the story. It's getting me deeper into these characters as we go along, and I'm just really digging it.
It for me, Volume 3 was where the book started to really show me what it's trying to be, and I get it now. I mean, it was good the whole way back, and interesting and different and unique, but now I really see what they're doing with it, and I'm in for it. I'm in for the ride.
Awesome! Very cool. Very cool. All right, what would you rate Volume 3, 0 to 5?
Let's go with a solid 4. 4.5?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm right there at four and a half. There wasn't anything in. I mean, there were a couple of things like with Shift, but that's because that's Shift's character, and that's the way he like when he's being like all kind of raunchy to Radiant Red and things to Satomi and all that. But that's just the way his character is. I'm not going to knock off too many points just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, four and a half, very very cool. And yeah, I think we're going to probably have to go to another ad break, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Are you looking for a weekly dose of gaming news and retro? Then check out Off the Cuff, available Fridays on Geekcast Radio Network from the producers of XRG. New name, same.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes fun is going to be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at TransmissionsPodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
All right. Anything we missed, Joe? Anything? Any final thoughts you want to say before I run through the closing and all that good stuff?
No, but I think it's time I did some fan art because I love the look of that character.
Radiant yellow?
Black. All of them, really.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's what we can do before I run through the closing. We can go to the cover gallery because the cover gallery is cool. So the cover.
There's a bunch of it on,
yeah,
on the trade here.
So. Going into the cover gallery, the first of four that we see is 13A, 13B, 13C, and 14A. Of this, I think the video game one, 13B,
yep,
by Diego Sanchez, that's my favorite out of this set of four.
He has another one on the next page, 15B, with a roster of the Radiance and the Rogues Gallery.
Oh, yeah, that is very cool. Ooh, did they
with
do the
special
all...
character Cowl showing up as well.
Ha-ha, that's so cool. I forgot that. Wow, that's super awesome. Very cool. And then I think... Yeah, I think my next, there it is. 17A is Radiant Yellow.
Yep.
Radiant Yellow, Radiant Black is in the front, but Radiant Yellow is in the back, and it's all his heads into the Doctor Strange searching at the multi. Mm-hmm. So that's probably what I saw.
No, he did do that in the comic.
Did he?
Remember.
Okay.
I don't remember where or when, but he did.
Yeah. And I think my next favorite would be by Tom Wolin on the final page, which is Radiant Yellow. kind of looks orange there.
Yeah, he's got all sorts of colors on him there.
Yep. And I should say 17A was done by Marcelo Acosta. Very awesome, very awesome.
I bet that Tom Whalen cover is Blacklight if you had the real book.
That was for issue 18. They did not do... They've only done two Blacklights. They did 10 and 24.
Well, those are the internals, right? Internal pages?
No, that's the cover.
They explicitly say the cover.
No, yeah, the pages were... The covers were... Yeah, this is 18C by Tom Whalen. Yeah, that's a cover. That's the C cover for issue 18. And then the volume 03 cover by Marcelo. Very awesome. Absolutely love it. Now, there is another thing in this trade, but we are not going to get to it tonight. We will be saving it for a future episode before we get to volume 4. It is Marshall's School of Business. I've been waiting for this to get traded. So we will have to come back to Marshall's School of Business and have an episode just for it's, folks, it's 3 pages. So, yeah, we'll have to come back. Or maybe is it just, it's not the whole thing, though, is it? It's, I'm trying to see if it's the whole thing or it might just be one. I don't know. They started doing Marshall School of Business way back in the other, trades and the other volumes and stuff. I don't remember if it has all been collected. I'll probably have to ask, or if somebody's listening to the sound of my voice can tell us, that's great too.
Yep.
All right. Coming up, we've got stuff that has already been pre-recorded and we've got stuff that's kind of old too, like me. Void Rivals from Skybound Entertainment. Skybound is an imprint of Image Comics. Void Rivals number 1 was recorded June 16th, 2023 on my buddy Jesse, aka Matrix Prime's channel. So that was recorded then. That will be the next episode. After that, we recorded Void Rivals number 2, so that'll be then. And then I've got a comic reading origins episode. And I have got Jesse and I will be back for Void Rivals number 3 in episode 534. So that's what's coming up on the show. We're trying to get caught up with things and stuff and things and stuff. So there's that. Anything else you want to say before I run through the closing, sir?
I think we have a geek sale date, September 30th.
Yay, it's finally been set in stone.
And I think we're pushing 80 vendors.
Nice.
We're letting I'm going to I hope I can fit everybody in there. That's going to be the plan. Not going to have any room for our visitors to park.
Who needs parking? It's Grand Rapids. Just take public transportation.
Yeah, there's a bus stop.
That's right. Yes, yes. Awesome, awesome. Thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple, Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on X at Geekcast Radio. If there, I got the Pullbag for the show. I am at TFGO and Mike. You can become a fan of on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out the Pullbag and Geek Stuff Garage Sale over there as well. Next time, as I said, will be episode 531, where my buddy Jesse and I go through Void Rivals number 1. Something I think you should probably check out. It's an interesting new thing, but it ties into what Skybound is going to be doing with the licenses that they now have for Transformers and G.I. Joe and things like that. So very, very fun.
Yeah, I'll be pulling Transformers, maybe G.I. Joe if they tie it together tightly enough.
Who knows? I'm pretty sure they will, but I'm not, yep, not exactly sure. So for now, I am TFGO and Mike with
Joe Reed.
As always, make your greatest game into comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.